Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Moving right along on a Red Friday here in Kansas City. It's going to be a beautiful Halloween day, so happy Halloween to all of you that are out there trick-or-treating. Be safe. Have fun. Enjoy it. If you're watching on the live stream, yes, Bob and I are in costume. I am a Surfside strawberry lemonade and vodka, and Bob is Chief Cheffers, who is the referee in this game. We're now joined by Sal Capaccio here on 96.5 The Fan. Sal, how are you doing on this Friday Halloween, my man?
I'm laughing. I mean, you guys lean into it, baby. I love it. Lean into it.
You got to, right?
I love that.
You got to lean into it. What's the mood, Sal? What's going on up there in Buffalo? It feels like fans are kind of like with this Buffalo team. How are you guys feeling?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, despite all the success, and I'll call it that, of course, you know, it's a different kind of success when you're winning Super Bowls like in Kansas City. Despite all the success, you know, here there's a lot of angst and there's a lot of frustration right now because this team hasn't gotten to their ultimate goal. And really the Chiefs, Halloween appropriate, have been the boogeyman to kind of keep them away and hold them back from what they want to get to. And now that they're in this position this year where they've lost a couple of games that people feel they shouldn't have lost to, despite being 5-2, the offense kind of doesn't look right. And there's a lot of angst, like I said, and now you have the Chiefs, the ultimate boogeyman, coming up to Buffalo, chance to get them to 5-3. And, you know, here we go again. So yeah, I think there's excitement that, you know, this team is still good from a lot of people, but it's all about the playoffs now. It's not about the regular season. You guys know this drill, right? And and for the differences where you are, you've gone through this and won it at the end. The difference here is we've gone through this and haven't won it, so who cares? Get me through the regular season, because whatever you do in the playoffs is what matters, and that nothing else does.
Yeah, exactly right. Years ago, I started saying the regular season was irrelevant here in Kansas City, and people would get mad. I'm like, no, it only matters what you know the team's going to the playoffs. It matters how they do when they get there. Now, if there is another short failure in the playoffs this year, are we starting to talk about the Sean McDermott job situation?
Yeah, listen, there's a couple different conversations about this. Fans are like, the frustration level is at a very high level with fans. Like we take calls from fans every day. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, as a guy calls, or this week, says, well, you know, what is the scenario that they can get rid of McDermott at the end of the year? Like, that's how people are talking, right? It's like, you're 5-2. You have the league MVP last year. You've won 5 straight division titles. And yet people are like, what's the scenario to get rid of the head coach? It's wild, right? But because of him being a defensive coordinator and the defense have failing them in the playoffs, I mean, the Bills have scored against the Chiefs in the playoffs. They haven't stopped them, and that's been the big ire from fans. Now, I think from objectively, of a media standpoint, looking outside in, Sean McDermott's an amazing coach. He's won 5 straight division titles. This team had a 17-straight-year playoff drought before he got here. So there's just a lot of different kind of nuances on how you talk about it around, right? But I will tell you, like, the fan and even, you know, Brandon Bean, well, he hasn't built the right roster and, you know, the roster construction. And look, no offense to Brett Veach in Kansas City. I always say, I did this on my podcast. I said, compare Brandon Bean's draft to Brett Veach's. Like, Veach has definitely hit on more like higher end, but he has a lot of guys that haven't worked out, including in second and third rounders. Every team does.
Right. Talking to Sal Capaccio here. You're down there. You're checking things out on the field throughout the games. And I want to ask you this, and not to throw it back or throw any sort of names into it, but is that Buffalo Stampede still feared, or is it kind of taken down a notch and it's kind of like you guys are the Chiefs from last year where it doesn't matter how you win, just win?
It's funny you say. I literally thought you were talking about the drum line. It's called the Buffalo Stampede.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, do people fear the drum line in Buffalo? Right.
Sometimes.
I mean, they used to have the Jills years ago. They used to have the Jills years ago. No more cheerleaders, and now they have the Buffalo Stampede. No, I mean, like when teams come to town, if that's what you're talking about, I think that, you know, the Chiefs have been in every scenario, every situation. They've beaten the Bills here in Buffalo, but there is something mental about teams coming to Buffalo and, you know, what it's like playing here. And, you know, guys, this year, this game, but every game this year, the added element is this is the last year ever at this stadium.
Yeah.
And we're opening a new stadium next year right across the street. And, you know, there's been such a history. I go back to the 90s and Steve DeBerg and Joe Montana coming to Buffalo in the playoffs, right? I mean, I remember going to those games, and it was the reverse where the Chiefs would beat the Bills in the regular season, the Bills would beat the Chiefs in the playoffs in those years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the other way around. But every game that we have here, there's something different and something unique about this is the last time this team is ever coming. And that could be the case, or maybe the Chiefs come in the playoffs. But there's a lot of that. There's a lot of sentimental and emotional attachment that's going along with this season. And I think that that's added to the kind of you know, I just say fear, I guess, of coming to Buffalo. It's not the players or coaches in Kansas City, but I do think, you know, no team, no fan base likes the fact of coming to Buffalo in November.
No, nobody likes to go to Buffalo after the month of September, I would imagine, you know, with the weather the way that it is up there. Offensively speaking, though, it seems different, obviously. It's James Cook, man. Like, this has been the guy. Why has he been so successful this year?
He really is amazing. He really is. I mean, I get a first row seat to him down on the sidelines. And, you know, I've been through a lot of these running backs and players, and some have been really special. And LeSean McCoy is, you know, one of the best I've ever seen. But this guy, I would say his vision is like LeSean's, and his contact balance is as good as anybody I've seen. That's what it is. He's only 200 pounds, right? Maybe a tick over that. But man, he takes shots. His contact balance is great. And really, I mean, his vision allows him to not take big shots and to move through the hole. And it's pretty incredible. But the other part is, guys, the Bills have a really good offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one of the best offensive lines in the league. They've really concentrated on building it, and that's why they've been able to keep Josh upright. Knock on wood here, Josh Allen has the longest active streak of any starting quarterback in the NFL. He takes pride in being available. He starts every game. He plays every game. He takes bumps and bruises. He's a big guy. But that's part of the offensive line, and that's why James Cook's been special. If they had kept him in last week, he played three quarters. And he had 214 yards rushing, 216, I think. If they'd kept him in, there are people thinking he could have gone for close to 300 and broken O.J. Simpson's all-time single-game rushing record here. As it was the best rushing performance in 50 years for the Buffalo Bills. So he's pretty special. But here's the deal. They have to lean into that running game, and it has to be special because the passing offense has been what people have been frustrated about.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Josh Allen, league MVP, but people just, you know, the passing offense has struggled, and there's been several reasons for that, I think. And is it Joe Brady? Is it Josh Allen? Is it protection? Is it the wide receivers? I think that's where people are mostly concerned, which is they don't have the wide receivers to really get separation, get open. And that's why there's a lot of talk of adding someone before the deadline.
Sal, I want to bring this up because I think you guys are going to massively miss Ed Oliver at the center of
yeah.
the defensive line. And we've always asked people, like, what do you do when you go into this game and see the Chiefs offense? And the same response we get is pray because of what they have as weapons. Without Ed Oliver, what does that mean for this defense against this offense for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I want to preface this by saying I would never say losing Ed Oliver is a good thing. Of course it's not. He's a massive player and you want him on the field. But I will say that the Bills last week got back Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt, and they were on six-game suspensions. And those names might not be household names, but, man, they can really kind of do the things two for one that Ed Oliver gives you, and especially against this matchup. Look, the Bills, the worst matchup for the Bills, we always say here in Buffalo, believe it or not, the Chiefs are a better matchup for the Bills than the Ravens. The Bills aren't built to stop a power run team. They're built to stop a team that can spread you out a little bit and try to, you know, and not lean on their run game and throw the ball. It doesn't mean that they're going to stop the Chiefs. I'm not saying that. But if this is a game against the Ravens and, you know, power run team, you feel a little bit different. Ed Oliver is a chaos penetrator in the middle of the defense. He gets through. He's a big guy, a big piece of what they do on third and long. But, man, Michael Hoyt is a really big chess piece, guys. And I think people are going to start to learn. He had a sack and a half in his first game off suspension. He's a free agent's pickup from the Rams. They move him around. He plays up front. He plays off the ball. He goes inside. And I think on those passing downs, that's a guy that they're going to use a lot, and then keep Joey Bosa and Greg Rousseau on the edge. Larry Ogunjobi's a better run defender than Ed Oliver. So in those situations, I don't think the Bills are too worried, but certainly Ed Oliver can create a play at any time. You've seen it in Kansas City happen. So that's a tough one. Now, the speed for Kansas City, that's going to be tough to deal with, no doubt. The Bills made some tweaks, though, last week. Max Harrison, the first-round corner, he was back on the field after being on injured reserve all season, and, boy, he looked pretty good. He's the fastest player at the combine, and I wonder, do they have him just follow Worthy around? Do they even follow Rice? What do they do with him? Because I think that's a really kind of interesting nuance to this game.
You know, you mentioned kind of the speed that the Chiefs have all over the place, right? I mean, they just come after you in waves and waves and waves and waves. Is this, in your opinion, because it is for me, the best offense that Buffalo's had to go up against this Chiefs team?
Yeah, I think so. Outside of, like I said, not having a great run game and without Pacheco, and I know that Kareem Hunt's had a bit of a rejuvenation here, and he's more of the power runner, and that might actually help the Chiefs in this game because of what I just said a little while ago. Mm-hmm. And Rashard Smith's done a nice job, but overall, like the speed, the way they can spread you out, and you have to defend everything from sideline to sideline, and you have to defend everything on 100 yards long. I think so. It's the most dynamic, you know, Chiefs offense and the way that they can come at you. You know, and obviously Travis Kelce is Travis Kelce still sometimes. You know, he's maybe not consistently for 17 games. The Bills have been actually very, very good against defending tight ends this year, one of the best teams in the league. Tight ends traditionally a lot of times hurt them early on in this era of Sean McDermott and, you know, what they've been building, but they've been good about that lately, so I wonder how that comes into play. But outside receivers, speed, what the Bills pride themselves on is not getting beat on explosives, and they do not allow explosives, and the Chiefs are going to try those, there's no doubt. But where they've failed is because they don't allow explosives, they actually allow a little too much underneath, right? Like that intermediate route area. And if the Chiefs can exploit that, which I'm sure they'll try to, that's where that speed will come into play. You get the ball into those guys' hands 15 yards off the line of scrimmage, and that's when, and we all remember the 13-second game in the playoffs. That was Tyreek Hill's touchdown before everything happened, before Gabe Davis scored. Tyreek Hill catches it, and he races because that's, the Bills don't want to give up the big play, but sometimes that is what winds up hurting them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It is reminiscent of that 13-second game. Will Keon Coleman use the comments by Steve Smith as fodder, or will he just not use them for anything?
He had no comment to us yesterday about it when asked. I think that he obviously is aware of them. And I'll say this, guys, I know the way the Bills operate. I'm quite sure people are making him aware of them and say, this is what people are saying about you. What are you going to do about it?
Wow.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that I think they try to use anything they can for internal motivation. And, you know, Keon has been, I'd say, a disappointment so far through 2 years, but he's come up with some big games. He was very big in the week one win against the Ravens, especially in the fourth quarter. He was the best receiver on the field in that game. So I think so. But look, he can want to do that all he wants. He still has to win. He still has to win one-on-one. Josh still has to find him, trust him. You know, they have to still make that connection work. So I do think Keon will try to use that a bit as motivation, but you can want that motivation all you want. You still have to go out there and perform.
Last one for you, Sal. If Josh Allen wins, he's the MVP. If Patrick Mahomes wins, he's the MVP. Yes or no?
No, I don't think that that's as cut and dry as that. I mean, you got some other guys here. Drake May is having a really good season right now, and what he's doing for a team that wasn't expected. I mean, I don't know. I think he'll come back down a little bit, but man, he looks good. I, you know, watching this guy play, he's right there in the mix. I don't think it's as clear as cut as that, but I do think they're the two leading guys. And look, at the end of this game, the winner of the game will be the odds-on guy to win the MVP. I don't think we can make it as simple as that's going to happen at the end of the year. But yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I think you still have to get to the end of the year and be the, you know, be the one thing. You know, going back to our conversation earlier, guys, that's the one thing the Bills haven't done in this era. They haven't gotten the one seed. Like, that's the goal this year. They want the one seed so bad because it's not about playing at home. The Chiefs beat the Bills at home, and the Bengals have. Getting that week off has been so massive to them because they haven't had it, and they've had injuries, and, you know, the Chiefs come to Buffalo a few years ago, and you got Travis Kelce running routes against A.J. Klein, right? I mean, like, because the Bills were so depleted at linebacker because of the injuries. They want that, and I could make the argument that this game is bigger for Kansas City than it is for Buffalo, considering where each team is in the standings.
No doubt. Sal, keep doing the Lord's work on the sideline down there. Look out for those Zins, Velos, and, you know, the smelling salts as you continue to do your thing. We appreciate the time and, you know, enjoy this banger of a game that is every single year for the last decade.
I'll look out for the Buffalo Stampede, too,
yes,
guys.
Sir.
You never know what it's going to be.
Yeah, you watch out.
At you.
Hey, I'm trying to help you out, Sal. You bet.
Thanks a lot, guys.
That's Sal Capaccio, sideline reporter for the Buffalo Bills, also at 5:50 a.m. in Buffalo as well. Interesting. Bigger game for the Chiefs than the Buffalo Bills. Well, I disagree.
I disagree as well. I mean, I think
it's okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And I'm sure you could make the case for either one. I could sit here today and you said, hey, Bob, make the case for this is a bigger game for the Chiefs than it is for whatever the case may be. Like they do at ESPN where they fake conversation, right? Mm. We could have done that, but we're going to be very kind of emotional and you know who we are about this one. I think it's a big game for both of these teams. But the way that these teams are playing right now, the eye test of these teams right now, it just feels like Buffalo needs this game a lot more than Kansas City. And that's not saying it's not a big game for the Chiefs, because it's a huge game. It's a massive game. It means 6-3. That's what you want to do. You want to keep separating yourself, in the win and loss column and continue to stack those wins. So it's a major game for the Chiefs. But I feel like if Buffalo loses this game, Dusty, and again, I could be completely wrong about this, I feel like the shovels are out and they're starting to put the dirt on the grave of the Buffalo Bills. And we'll start to hear on Monday that the run of the Bills is over. The Patriots are going to win this division. So I think from that standpoint, with as good as the Patriots are playing right now, because I buy into the Patriots more than I buy into the Broncos or the Chargers at this point. But I think the way that they're playing right now with the coach that they have in New England, if Buffalo does lose this game, it's a major separator between them and New England. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Yeah, I could play devil's advocate because if the Chiefs do lose this game, and we talk about what the schedule is moving forward, they then have to dwell on this during the bye week, which we understand that Andy Reid does well after the bye. But then you get Denver, Indianapolis, at Dallas on Thanksgiving. Dusty, Dallas, really? It's different on Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is, but it is.
Well, they also score points.
Exactly.
They score a
Dallas
lot of points.
Does, yeah.
And they also haven't played the Chiefs defense yet this year, too.
Sure. Yeah. Whereas, you look at the Bills and you look at their remaining schedule, if they lose, they're probably okay. I mean, they get the Dolphins, the Bucks, the Texans, the Steelers, the Bengals, and then they have that big December 14th game against the Patriots. So you look at the difference in schedules, I would see why you would say, well, if the Chiefs win this game and they go to, 6-3, okay, now maybe if you want to have that sort of loser mentality, you can afford to have a hiccup. Maybe it's on Thanksgiving Day. Maybe it's against Denver and Denver because you'd still have another matchup against them in Kansas City where you could even that out and then go to common opponents, where they would still have a tiebreaker because of Philadelphia, and I think that's the only one right now on the schedule. But, I mean, I think this game is big for both teams, but I do shift more so in the Buffalo side because I think the way the Chiefs are held together from the top to the bottom and the way they are so glued as a franchise that this loss, like we've seen in the past, doesn't really affect them where they go, whereas I think this loss to Buffalo would then be three losses in their last four games, and the games that they have won, Mitch told us the combined record's like 10-29 or something like that, you would start to have, like he had mentioned, Sal Capaccio, that is the doubt and the disbelief in the Sean McDermott era. Okay, it's been great. Yeah, we haven't been there, but we've flattened. We've gone to our point, and we can't seem to get past it. We need somebody else. We need to change things up. So I think that it is bigger for Buffalo, but if I were to do like a graph chart, I would say it's about 59-41 importance for Buffalo to win over Kansas. I still think this is a massive game for the Chiefs. I still think they got to go out there, obviously, and take care of business because of what the schedule is for the Chiefs, whereas it's not necessarily the schedule for Buffalo. It's the future.
Right, exactly. And I think you got to try to stack wins as much as you can. You put yourself at that disadvantage losing those first two games of the year and really losing that Jacksonville game, right? So now you're behind the eight ball, and so you can't afford any more mess-ups, if you will. You've got to continue to press forward and continue to win these games. And this is a beatable opponent this year, right? Buffalo's beatable every year. Chiefs are everybody's beatable, right? It's the NFL. But this is a beatable opponent right now, and one that if you do beat, you will get all that street cred. Not that that matters, but it does to these guys, right? They want to hear good things about themselves. They want people to respect them. And I think for a lot of those fence sitters right now that are kind of wondering about this defense, is this defense that good or has it been the opponents? Going out there and playing a stout game against Buffalo and holding them under, I would say, 25 points, if you will, that will show you how good this defense truly is. And so they've got a lot to play for, the Chiefs do. Obviously, the Bills have a ton to play for, and that's why this game is great. That's why I said earlier, this is really the first time that they've played this game in the Mahomes-Allen era where the game actually has a lot more meaning than it has ever had before. Because, yeah, the one spot's nice, but both teams you knew were going to the playoffs are going to be fine. See you later. This is now midseason. Buffalo's kind of going like this. Some people don't think the Chiefs are where they need to be. This is as big a Buffalo Chiefs game and what's on the line, maybe more so than we've ever seen before outside of the postseason, obviously.
Yeah, there's more question marks with both teams than we've probably ever had in the past regular season matchups, and that's why there's more pressure for the Buffalo Bills because the Chiefs have more answers. They have Patrick Mahomes, they have Andy Reid, and they have past precedents. They've proved this time and time again. They're the New England Patriots. People, the sky's falling. It's the regular season. We know what's going to happen in December and January. If they get in, man, they win.
Right, exactly. And that's what the New England Patriots did every year. And quite honestly, that's kind of what Buffalo does. They get in and they're there in the AFC Championship game. They don't win at the end, obviously, and get the job done. But like when you're a team like, you know, Buffalo or Kansas City or New England back in the day, you're using the regular season to figure yourself out for when the playoffs do start. Now you know what works, what doesn't work, and you put your best foot forward.
Is this a game where Andy Reid can, because of the pressure, because of the magnitude of the matchup, can maybe unleash a little bit of the playbook, get a little fancy, get a little spicy?
I would.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of time we talk about him holding, reserving tight to the vest for the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. But I think this is one of those games that they're kind of looking at like it's message time, too. You know, like go out there and have this high-flying aerial attack that we've been wanting to see since July of 2024 unleashed over the last couple of weeks. And we're seeing it now. We're seeing these guys attack, attack, attack. And if you don't think they're having fun on offense right now, you're sorely mistaken. And you know what fun brings? More fun. Let's continue to have more fun. Let's continue to do this. Let's go.
Yeah, I do think that the significant advantage in this game is Andy Reid and Sean McDermott. Now, I do think that Sean McDermott kind of has a little bit of a few codes that he can throw into the game because of what he has at quarterback against Andy Reid. But I do think that Andy Reid, I think that's why that Washington game was kind of slow. I don't think that they wanted to show a whole lot in that Washington game. I thought they figured Mariota, Washington, Debo, McLaurin are coming back. Like, I think we can handle this with our C sort of game. Then they went in the locker room and said, okay, they're better than we give them credit for, maybe. I'm not saying this is what they did, but I'm just hypothetically speaking that then they went out there like, all right, let's unleash a few things because there's so many options that you could have, like a different combination, how you can build a hamburger, no pun intended, is kind of what they can do with this offense. And where we see all these guys motion in the backfield, and we see this guy come out as a quarterback and Mahomes line up to the right. That was just like a small fragment of what I think Andy Reid will open up in this game where it's like, oh, we haven't seen Xavier Worthy in this role yet this year. We haven't seen Rashee Rice come into the slot and then move out to the outside and do these sort of things. And we haven't seen Travis Kelce only be available for three catches in a game for 35 yards because you didn't need him because you had more explosive firepower elsewhere that you've yet to release. And eventually the season is going to go on and more is going to be shown. Why not now in week 9 when you're going into a bye where you can readjust things and then when Denver thinks they have it figured out, boom, here's a whole other scheme.
Oh, we're going to see stuff in this game that we haven't seen before, and we're going to see stuff in this game that we'll never see again, too. I mean, that's the beauty, as you mentioned there, of Andy Reid and the mastermind behind all of this. There will be plays, I guarantee you, we'll be going, oh, my God, I've never seen that before. And then we'll go, can we see it again? And they'll say, no, we've already used that play. And then they'll have something different and something better, you know, for when these two teams meet up in the postseason. But, no, I think this could be a fun game for Andy Reid because they're on that cusp of being able to just kind of unleash everything. Now this is, what, Rice's third game back, right? Yep. Right? It could be his third game back. He's kind of more into the system now, more used to getting hit, more used to the rigors of playing football, can open some things up a little bit. Yeah, I definitely think we're going to see some stuff in this game that's going to wow the hell out of us from an offensive standpoint.
816 said no bun.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Intended.
Well done.
I love that.
Well done. Hey, you know what we did last week, guys?
We won money.
We made people some money.
Woo!
So why don't we continue to do it again? We'll get to our Friday Chiefs parlay on the other side.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.